Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. And beloved, God is in the miracle working business. What He did yesterday, He can do today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad for that? I certainly am. Well, we've been sharing a message I've entitled, We Are Children of the Promise. And let me just review a few scriptures, a few verses found in Galatians, the fourth chapter. Paul was addressing that church, and he was really rebuking them because they started in the Spirit, and he said, now, are you so foolish? Are you going to be made perfect in the flesh by following legalism, by going back to the old rituals and the old laws and legalistic requirements of the law? For a time, they were wonderful. For a time, they were given to be our schoolmaster to show that man simply could not perfectly fulfill the law of God. That's why Jesus came. That's why we have grace today, that we can, through the help of His Holy Spirit. You see, under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit only came on the priest and the prophet and the king. That was the anointing that the Holy Spirit came on them. But today, when we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes in the heart of every single believer. He takes up residence there. So we have capabilities, we have understanding, we have potential that they never had in the Old Testament. Look at Samson. What does it say? The Spirit of the Lord came on him, and with a donkey's jawbone, he killed how many hundreds of men? It's the Spirit of the Lord that enables us to do amazing, incredible things, things that defy logic, things that defy the limitations of man. That's exactly what happened in the life of Abraham and Sarah. He is an example for us. The impossible happened. They've been promised by God. Some of you feel like you've been waiting years to see your heart's desire fulfilled. Don't give up, and don't try other solutions, other ways to get it to happen, because that's what Abraham and Sarah did. They tried love. There was an Egyptian bondwoman that Sarah had named Hagar, and so out of that union, Ishmael came, and that's been a source of battle, heartache, and trouble in the nations of the world since time immemorial, since it happened. And so, beloved, that's an example to us. We cannot use our human reasoning, our human understanding, to see the promises of God fulfilled, because Ishmael was not the son of the promise. Let me read in verse 28 down to 31, chapter 4, Galatians. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Yes, still today, beloved. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Hallelujah. Well, I'd like to take a few moments, and let's just share a little bit about Ishmael. Remember, I shared on yesterday's broadcast, Abraham was very grieved to have to send his son into the wilderness. I'm not sure, he was about 13 years old with his mother. They gave them some provisions, but certainly not enough to carry them. And they were ready to die of thirst, and God provided a supernatural springing of water so that they were able to survive and lived in the wilderness of Paran. That name Ishmael means, may God hear. And he was born when Abraham was about 46 years old. And as far as a little history on him, he was born in Abraham's house when they dwelt in the plain of Mamre, and on the institution of the covenant of circumcision, he was circumcised at the age of 13. And God renewed his promise respecting Ishmael with the institution of the covenant. He doesn't appear again until the story of the weaning of Isaac. And at this great feast, there was a celebration made in honor of this event, the weaning. And it says, Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. And of course, Sarah, seeing this, knew that that was going to be a real source of conflict and trouble. She urged Abraham to cast him out and his mother. And of course, God spoke to him expressly and said, you do what Sarah tells you to do. And he was comforted, of course, Abraham, by the renewal of God's promise to make of Ishmael a great nation. So Abraham sent them away, and they departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, Genesis 17:25. And his mother took Ishmael, it says, a wife out of the land of Egypt. They dwelt in the wilderness. And this wife of Ishmael was the mother of his 12 sons and one daughter. Ishmael lived to be 137 years old. Genesis 25:17 says, and these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. So the sons of Ishmael, people of the north and west of the Arabian Peninsula, supposedly formed the chief element of the Bedouin tribes and the Arab nation. The Bedouins, you know, were nomadic, wandering tribes who lived in the desert. They survived very well there. And now, in this day, they are mostly Mohammedans who look as their spiritual father to Abraham, as the Jews look to Abraham. When Abraham produced Ishmael, it was not accounted to him for righteousness. When Abraham conceived a child by the bondwoman Hagar, he was not believing God, he was believing in himself, in the recommendation and suggestion that Sarah had given him. Abraham thought he was doing the right thing, the logical thing, the sensible thing. He weighed his own judgment against the promise given to him by God, and his own judgment prevailed. When Abraham produced Isaac, he no longer believed in himself. They were both past the age of childbearing. He did not believe in his reason. He did not lean to his own understanding, but he believed God. He truly was walking in faith, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Paul thunders the truth that we cannot be identified with the promised son without first casting out the son of man's doing. Ishmael, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Our old life is not sufficient, no matter how well-intentioned, how good, how charitable, how upstanding. The old methods will not do. We can't bring into our new creation life the modus operandi, the unregenerate nature, the ways we used to do things. The things we used to do in the past, simply on the basis that it seemed good or it worked, it cannot be part of the promise. To the human mind, the methods used, you know, sounded reasonable. And how many churches, beloved, how many people are using the old tried and true methods of getting people to church and getting them involved in programs galore, but not by the Spirit? How many Christians are trying to live a good life, making new resolutions to do better at every failure, but not doing so in the power of the Holy Spirit? And instead of peace and joy, power and communication with each other and God, there is warfare. You know, even recently, our pastor was talking about, you know, what churches are doing to get people to come. They have these bouncy toys for kids. I recall before I settled in at this wonderful local church that we're going to, I did church hopping. I visited and I went to one large church. I mean, it was $1 million edifice, all kinds of cars, a huge parking lot, packed. And as when I walked in, now they had a book table. They had a library, a bookstore, if you will, on the left. On the right, they had a coffee bar, and you could get your lattes. And the service had already started, and even though the service was going on, they were sitting at tables, sipping their lattes, and the girls were in skin-tight jeans with 4-inch heels. You have to be escorted into a seat by the ushers. It was pitch dark. They needed a flashlight to get you where you're supposed to sit. And I'm telling you, I went home feeling like I was from another planet. Beloved, when you've known and tasted the power of God without any dynamics, without any props, I can recall I was visiting my brother in Phoenix, Arizona. My Cherokee girlfriend, who now lives in North Carolina, we were going to a church that she attended, and the worship group looked like a rock star team, and we were standing talking in the lobby, and I looked up, and I thought, oh my heavens, what is that? And it looked like the glory of the Lord. Well, it wasn't the glory, it was a smoke machine. And I mean, is that pitiful or what? You know, we have to resort to devices to create an atmosphere. Beloved, what we need is holy living. We need prayer and fasting, getting down on our face before God. And we will see the signs and wonders that the early church did. We will see the signs and wonders that those who went before us a generation ago, two generations ago in the brush arbors, we would see those kind of demonstrations if we will put aside our way of doing things and seek the very face and power of God. Well, I could go on for an hour, but I need to bring this broadcast to a close. The announcer is going to give our contact information. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. I love you. I thank you for joining me. I thank you for your prayer support. God bless your heart. And I want to remind you, until tomorrow, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,